I'm Liam Printer, and this is The Motivated Classroom. Hello, bonjour, falcha, welcome to The Motivated Classroom, and a special konnichiwa to all of those Japanese teachers, especially you guys on the other side of the world, literally over there in Australia, New Zealand, Japan, that side of the world. Many of you are big fans of The Motivated Classroom podcast and share things all the time about it, so a huge garamila mahagav thank you to you guys. Konnichiwa, there you go. Now, this episode is going to focus on back to school, back to the classroom. I know you could be listening to this podcast at any time in the future, but really right now for me and many of the teachers around the world, it is at the end of August and we are all going back to the classroom or getting ready to do so. So I posted something a little while ago on my social media about my own personal goals for the year. And many, many people share this, and quite a lot of people asked me would I speak a bit more about these on the podcast. So here it is. These are essentially my goals. I'm not a big fan of the word tips, like top tips, because that sounds like I'm telling you that I know what you should do, and that is just not the case. These are my own goals and objectives, and if you feel like it would be something that might be working for you in your classroom, then great, go ahead and have a go at some of these goals as well. But I guess this is what I would like to focus on in my classroom for the next year. So, of course, before I do that, I must, of course, start with our Irish word. And today, the word or the structure we're going to use is í fostú. Now, í fostú is actually a phrase that I didn't really know what it meant. And this is the power of reading. So, as many of you know, I'm reading in Irish to my now 5-month-old daughter. She's still not really understanding too much of it, but we're going to keep doing the reading anyway, and hopefully she gets a love of books that way. And I came across this phrase in one of the stories, saying that the character was I gonna I fostu, always I fostu, which means stuck, wrapped up. In this case, it's about him being wrapped up in a kite that he's flying. So there you go. The phrase is I fostu, meaning stuck. And I hope that you are not I fostu right now with your planning and learning for the year. So let's get right into it. Now, it just so happens that by chance, there are 8 of these objectives or goals or tips or whatever way you want to call it about back to school that I've made for myself. I know that in the last episode we had 8 activities for reading. I didn't do that on purpose. You know me and my mathematics is not my strong point. So I'll go straight into the first one. And this first one for me is build relationships, not PowerPoints. Now, somebody actually wrote a comment on this saying, of course, relationships and PowerPoints are not compatible. And I think it was a little tongue in cheek, as in you can still have great relationships and great PowerPoints. Absolutely, you can. My focus here was that I want to focus more on building relationships than I want to do on building fancy resources or PowerPoints or worksheets. So I remember when I started my career, I think I spent huge amounts of time on worksheets, making them look pretty, PowerPoints, lots of flashy animations, thinking that that was the way to engage and hold my students' attention. Now, of course, some of you out there love making resources and you love spending your time doing this. Keep doing it. Do what you love. For me personally, spending time on PowerPoints is not my love. I much prefer to just chat to the students and have a fairly basic PowerPoint. Or most of the time, I never really use a PowerPoint or Google Slides. It's actually quite rare that I have that up behind me. Usually it's just a whiteboard and a marker. Now, maybe I'm old school, but genuinely, when I go to create new resources, and often most of them are out there already, and there's some wonderful people sharing amazing resources, but please make sure you cite those people or at least say thank you for the resource if you're going to use it. So I do find lots of great resources out there from people that they've shared openly and said you can use, and I'll adapt it a little bit and say thank you to that teacher. But it's not really my forte is building resources from scratch. I'm much more into building stories, co-creation of characters. And for me, I want to build and focus more on building those relationships, getting to know my students rather than spending too much time on flashy animations and GIFs and all these little things on the PowerPoints. That's my personal first goal. So number 2 is more autonomy, less monotony. Now, I would like to think this is something I've been focusing on for years, but this is just a reminder to myself, really, that to continue to always place autonomy front and center of my classroom. Now, remember, when we talk about autonomy, we are not just talking about giving students some choice. we've spoken about this before, that you can give a student a choice between horribly boring worksheet A and horribly boring worksheet B, and they are not meaningful choices. There's very little autonomy, supportive teaching going on there. We want to give students autonomy, which means giving them ownership over the learning, a feeling of self-determination, a feeling of co-creation of materials. That's what builds autonomy, when we bring in parts of their lives, and critically, when we minimize pressure that raises autonomy. So it's like a seesaw. Bring down the pressure or the coercion, and autonomy is therefore going up. And yes, less monotony. If I feel like we are doing things that are becoming very monotonous or boring and the students are just kind of going through the motions, there's probably very little learning or engagement going on there. And so I want to make sure I mix things up and do different activities as much as I can. We know about that research around positive emotions in the language classroom from Jean-Marc Devalle, Saito and many others, McIntyre, who do these brilliant research into positive emotions. And they have found over and over again the importance of unpredictability. Now, again, I've spoken about this before. That's not to say we don't have good routines, but we want to be unpredictable in the activity that might come next, or the students don't really know which activity might come next after this one. What's going to happen in those stories when we're building together? That is really powerful because they're intently listening and they want to know what's going to happen next. My third goal for this year is share passions, not problems. It's very easy to get into the trap to just talk about problems. And I suppose here I'm talking about my classroom, but also the staff room around my colleagues. It's such an easy thing to just talk about problems and things that aren't working or things that aren't going well for you. But it's so much better for everybody around, your students, your colleagues, your bosses, your parents, if you just talk about the passions that are going on. So the things that are really meaningful to you. Now, right now in my life, many of my passions surround around my daughter and my little dog and my partner and going for bike rides and going for hikes and visiting family. These are the passions I have right now in my life. And so I share these. Now, there's some of you listening are going, well, I don't really want to share all that stuff about my personal life. That is absolutely fine. You need to decide where those boundaries are and how much you wish to share about your own self and who you are as a person. But I would encourage you to share some of your passions. If you don't want to talk about your personal family, that's absolutely fine. But maybe your passion is rollerblading. Talk about that then. Talk about why you love doing it so much. Maybe your passion is hard rock music. Talk about that. Share these passions with people. You will build intimacy and closeness and relationships with your colleagues, which is really important in terms of trustworthiness. We just did a very interesting workshop about this, and trustworthiness is essentially credibility, reliability and intimacy, like a closeness, a knowing people and allowing a little bit of yourself out there to people. So that's what I want to focus on there. Number four is look at students, not at a screen. So what I mean by this is I want to make sure that even in those moments when I'm really busy and I've got loads of emails to respond to and a report to fill out and a Google form to complete, that I don't do that during class time. That I use my really special, precious time with students in front of me to look at them, to talk to them, to engage with them, to show them that I care about them, and to let the screen work happen later. Now, I know how tempting that is. There's no way I'm going to sit here in the studio and pretend like I've never responded to an email during class. Of course I have. Of course I have. I'm human like the rest of you. But that is a goal of mine, to leave that stuff until after class. Even if I sit down at my computer for a minute while the students are getting on with something, to just not do those menial tasks, focus on what's going on in the classroom at that moment. Stand up, walk around, do some meaningful check-ins, bring a little post-it around and make some notes about what the students are talking about. What are they engaging with? What parts of the work are they finding easy or difficult in this precise moment? And then bring that together. Do some formative assessment. But importantly, look at them, show them that they are what's important at that time and not at my screen. And the next one is very closely linked to that, which is talk more, photocopy less. Now, some of you are listening to this going, Liam, the last thing you need to do is talk more. You talk enough as it is. And that, I suppose, is a goal in my personal life, is to talk less and listen more. But in a language acquisition class, remembering that for beginner students, I am their best resource. I am the one who can provide that interesting, comprehensible inputs, particularly in those first couple of years. So I want to make sure I'm talking lots and lots with them, to them. I'm making sure that they're engaging with me rather than spending all my time on resources and photocopying and PowerPoints. It's kind of linked to the first one. So less worksheets and more interactions with the students, I guess, is what that one means. The next one is co-create, don't coerce. And that came from a lot of reading I've done over the last year around motivation, and in particular, the demotivating aspect of coercion. Now, when we talk about coercion, it's trying to convince people to do something out of guilt, really. So saying to them stuff like, well, you know, you should complete this because that's what good students do, or, you know, you really should learn how to speak German because that's what really smart people do. You know, they learn German and they can go and communicate, and that's what smart people do. That's coercion. It's trying to force people into doing something they don't really want to do out of the kind of a feeling of shame or guilt. So rather than coercing students into doing work, like, you need to do this homework because otherwise your parents will not be proud of you and I'll be disappointed in you. And instead of doing coercion, let's co-create stuff together. Therefore, they have much more autonomy. They're much more bought into it and we work together better. And that even goes for the most traditional aspects of teaching, like a vocabulary test. If you're doing 20 words that you've come across in a reading that you've worked together on, maybe it's a story you built together, maybe it's a novel or a book, and you're doing a quite traditional vocabulary test, that's fine now and again. No problem every now and again. It's all good. Now, coercion would be, you need to go and study for this because that's what good students do and otherwise I'm going to be very disappointed in you. Co-create is, let them write the test with you. They pick out which words are important and they put them into the test. Now, they have a huge more buy-in into it. They've also gone to the trouble of finding the words. They'll probably know it better anyway. And then you say, I'm going to delete half of these for tomorrow, and then you'll have a go at trying to fill them in. So building tests with them, they have compiled the assessment with you, and now they're so much more bought into it. The next one, I suppose, is more to do with our own mental health. And this is point number 7. Be good to yourself, not hard on yourself. And that is something I need to continuously tell myself. And I guess some of you listening to this will also need to hear that. It's way too easy for us just to be hard on ourselves. When we get those student surveys back or we do some feedback and one or two students out of the 100 we teach have said a few negative comments and we focus massively on those and we beat ourselves up about it. Why don't they like my class? What is it about my teaching? Why am I not connecting to them? Rather than going, there's 97 students who are really happy in your class. You know, so be good to yourself. Just don't be hard on yourself. Teaching is tough. It's hard work. It's not an easy job. We are all manner of things all at once. We are guidance counselors. We are there to help them build relationships. We are, you know, helping them with their mental health. We are creating knowledge with them. We are parents in loco parentis, or all of these things. We're coaches all at once. It's tough. So don't be hard on yourself when things don't go very well. That's normal. That's natural. It's going to happen every now and again that things have not gone as well as you wanted, or a lesson was a total flop, or you tried to do something and it just didn't work. Don't beat yourself up. Move on. My rule always as a basketball coach is I allow 24 hours to think about the previous event, whether that is we've just won an enormous championship or whether we have just had a horrendous last second loss with the last point of the game. 24 hours. So you can either celebrate and think about it and be really joyful about that 24 hours and go, that was amazing, we won the championship. But then it's done, let's move on and now let's build for the next one. Or 24 hours to wallow and go, that was horrendous. Think through it, go through those motions, but then that's it, it's gone. 24 hours has passed, it's over, brush it off, we're done, move on. Don't be hard on yourself. Be good to yourself. The fact that you're listening to this podcast means you're trying to upskill. You're trying to become a better teacher, which is wonderful. So, and thank you. And keep listening to the podcast. Keep sharing it, okay? And finally, one of my goals every single year is think motivation, not examination. And I do have to remind myself of that. Like many of you, secondary school, high school teachers, you are preparing students for a big, scary, standardized exam at the end of their secondary schooling. And it is easy to start to focus on that. And sometimes we allow ourselves to focus on it way too much. Trust me in that the less you focus on that exam, particularly when you're quite a long time away from it, like a year away, 2 years away, just focus on motivation. You're going to help them with the exam in the long run. You start focusing on that big exam 3-4 years in advance, you know, really focusing on an exam technique and all that, students are just going to think school is just about the exam. Nothing else matters. It's just about getting through the exam and passing the exam. And we want to, of course, these are important. We want them to get good results and go to university if that's what they wish, or go on to jobs that they like, of course. We need to prepare them for life. But we also don't want to teach them that the only thing that matters in school is the final exam. So focus on the motivation, the intrinsic motivation, and then they will listen. They will engage more. They will be there more. They will work harder. And then they will be more prepared for that final exam when it does come around. Now, that's not to say you never, ever talk about the exam. Of course you do. But just maybe do it. If you were going to talk about it on Monday, Wednesday and Thursday this week, maybe just do it on Wednesday. Talk about something else Monday and Thursday. Do some co-creation. Do some interesting activity. Do a special person interview. Read an interesting article that they've brought to you and that they're interested in. Something like that, so that we're building towards motivation and not just focusing on examination. It's hugely important. And that adds into the student's mental health as well. So I really want you to continue to think about that. And for yourself as well, you know, think about the motivation, your own intrinsic motivation. And the great thing is from the research is we see when we focus on the intrinsic motivation, the autonomy, the relatedness, the competence, the engagement in our classes, what happens is the students become invested in the learning process. They become lifelong learners. They have much better learning outcomes. They become better learners. And therefore, they're doing better in the exam anyway. So it's a win, win, win. All right, so there we go. So there are my 8 goals for this academic year. Slightly shorter podcast than usual, which some of you may be very thankful for as you're preparing for the school year. I want to say a massive, huge thank you to all of you for supporting the podcast. We are on episode 87. There's over 55 patrons of the podcast now, which is just incredible. Thank you so much to all of you who are getting me that coffee once a month, that bag of crisp once a month. I really, really appreciate it. And there's people supporting it through buying me a coffee. That's what's keeping it going. That is why I am on episode 87. I was going to stop this at episode 20, then at episode 40, then at episode 50, and we're still here. So if you want to keep it going, please do continue to support it. And if you're not in a financial position to do that, as I say over and over again, no problem whatsoever. No problem. Listen for free. Keep listening for free. Keep sharing with your colleagues. There's no pressure whatsoever. Okay, I just want you here listening with me and sharing the word. And on that note, last week we had a record over 4,000 downloads of the podcast in 1 week. I can't believe that. When you think at the beginning where it was maybe like 150, 200 a week and now it's 4,000. Just unbelievable. So thank you so much. Gurmila Mahagav. Don't forget about today's phrase, which is I fostu, meaning stuck or tied up. And I will be with you next week. Gurmila Mahagav. Agus slán amhaile. The Motivated Classroom podcast is an original production by Liam Printer. I'm at Liam Printer on Twitter and my YouTube channel is Liam Printer, The Motivated Classroom. Full podcast notes with links to resources are available on my website, liamprinter.com. For more, find and follow the Motivated Classroom podcast on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Graphics and music are provided by Paul Mahan. Intro clips are thanks to the wonderful multilingual staff at the International School of Lausanne.